nearly 8:14, and renewed Chinese pressure, even the threat of military action against separatist efforts, raises serious concerns for Taiwan this year. That much was made clear by President Xi Jinping in a speech last week. Let's first bring in Professor Chin-Fu Hung from the Department of Political Science at National Cheng Hung University in Taiwan. Good morning to you from Seoul.
Good morning, everyone.
What is the impetus behind Beijing's new aggression? Obviously, it does fit a certain pattern, but it seems to be intensifying. And where is it headed?
Well, I think as we understand the November election, local election last year, Beijing sees the trend that, or the current that, they could further, bring the two sides of Taiwan Strait a bit closer, because they think the majority of Taiwanese elections show the positive side to the Beijing authority. So they think maybe on this special occasion to commemorate the 40th anniversary of the message to Taiwan compatriots, then they could further their political unification with Taiwan. So I guess this is the main message sent to Taiwan that, well, maybe it is the right time to share the possible political dividends in the near future.
Well, from President Xi Jinping's perspective, this is not a problem that he wants to hand over
exactly
to another generation. But Tsai Ing-wen in Taiwan has rejected the offer of one country, two systems, reiterating that her side will never accept the 92 consensus. What does that mean to citizens in Taiwan?
1992 consensus, right?
Yeah.
I think it was, well, the term is itself controversial because, you know, at that time, back to 1992, there wasn't really a real consensus, but each side of the Taiwan Strait agreed to see, you know, you have your own explanation or your stance. So, but later on, when particularly our previous president Ma Ying-jeou took office, one of our previous officers say that, well, there exists 1992 consensus, and with this basis, two sides could go further and, you know, to stabilize the political environment. So, but vast majority think that they were given an aversion that, well, this is very important basis. But now Xi Jinping make it clear that the 1992 consensus seems to be one country principle, and it should be one country, one China principle, and one country, two systems. So I guess this is not version, this is not political model that we, majority of Taiwanese people, will accept.
Yes. Is this really trying to seize some political capital, though, with the Democratic Progressive Party marking landslide losses in that November election in Taiwan?
Right.
Suggesting that perhaps there is a rise in pro-Chinese sentiment, even?
I think, as I say, this could be seen as a political capital because if KMT does win a lot of seats in local mayorship, then it may suggest that, well, Taiwanese people care more about economy rather than, you know, ideology or political values or system. So I think Beijing may miscalculate that, one China principle does really work in the majority of Taiwanese, 23 million people. And I guess most of Taiwanese people think that, well, we request the government to do better in terms of economic affairs, but it wasn't really the case that we want to rely heavily or absolutely on the Beijing side.
briefly, what happens next, given that for the last 2 years, we haven't seen Tsai Ing-wen, for example, hold any communication with Beijing? Exactly. Are we going to see a meeting and a peaceful settling of this issue?
I think the message sent by Beijing has made it clear. If any parties or government in Taiwan accept the 1992 consensus, which means one China principle and one country, two systems, then they would really invite anyone who come to Taiwan to talk and negotiate the political future. But I guess it is not the principle, it is not the model that we accept. So I don't foresee any possible negotiation from Taiwan side, because I do believe that the president has made it clear, and the majority public opinion has also want to see that we deserve the respect and, you know, respect the commitment of Taiwanese people to pursue democracy and human rights, and we require also the equal footing, rather than, you know, you are treated as the local government or authority.
Professor Chin Fu Hong, thank you very much for offering views this morning.
It's good to talk to you. Bye.
We move from Taiwan to Hong Kong now with Professor Jean-Pierre Cabestan of the Department of Government and International Studies at Hong Kong Baptist University. And good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, I mean, if this doesn't proceed peacefully, we might naturally fear the alternative, some sort of military occurrence, to put it mildly, if indeed President Xi refuses to hand this problem over to another generation, as he said before. What's at stake there? For example, could it draw in the United States, or might we see a Ukraine-like scenario where China gets away with doing far more than it really should, and the world just watches in fear of escalating things?
Well, as you know, China has never excluded a military scenario. Now, how to carry out this scenario, this operation, it's another matter. It's very complicated for a number of reasons. First of all, I would mention or remind everyone that Taiwan is an island. It's close to China, but it's still an island, 150 kilometers away from the Chinese shores. Secondly, it has with the United States a de facto security agreement, the Taiwan Relations Act, which allows the U.S. to provide defensive weapons, but also to Taiwan, but also to show concern towards anything which would happen in the Strait or in the region. So it means that if China moves militarily in the Strait, or if a crisis, military crisis occurs in the Taiwan Strait, it will be very hard for the U.S. not to intervene. Now, and maybe also Japan, because of its security treaty with the United States, to provide logistic support to the U.S. military in case of crisis in the Taiwan Strait. So it means it will be not only a local war, but it will be a regional war and maybe a world war. So, and then a final argument against launching a war would be what will happen in Taiwan. You know, if China decides and Xi Jinping decides to favor a military option, and then manages to take control of Taiwan, how will it rule Taiwan? How it will deal with the Taiwanese society, 23 million people? I think it will be very hard. And the Chinese the Chinese experts keep mentioning that problem. How you rule a country which you have defeated and which is not willing to reunify with you? It will be very hard. You know, and it's very different from Crimea, which you alluded to, or the eastern part of Ukraine, which is a Russian-dominated society. So that's why I think any military scenario is mentioned or is toyed with in order to add up what I would call psychological pressure on the Taiwanese, intimidate them and remind them that China can use that option. Whether China is going to privilege that option is another matter.
Yeah, I mean, I just to clarify, my comparison with Ukraine and Crimea and might also be extended to other scenarios like Syria or Yemen or take your pick, is made not so much of a comparison on the ground there, but more in the sense that the international community has been tested and has, to a certain extent, been found wanting in the respect that we seem to be so scared of a world conflict that will accept regional conflicts, and maybe China will be emboldened by that, especially when we see, for example, that China's official military newspaper told readers at the start of this year that war preparations should be a top priority for the year.
Yes, you are. I mean, it's part of China's propaganda and official discourse to sort of keep putting pressure on other countries and intimidating them in order to sort of for them to remain either neutral or passive in case of any military crisis. I think they're first in the region. So I think China is first alluding to the South China Sea. But here again, I mean, I don't think that the U.S. is going to back off, and the Chinese know it pretty well. So I think it's, again, as far as Taiwan is concerned, I think Xi Jinping is still giving precedence to what I would call the United Front strategy, which is much more, of course, it's longer, it will take more time. You have to be more patient, but it's much more efficient. The United Front strategy is aimed at winning over the Taiwanese, various segments of the Taiwanese society, for the elite, the political elite, economic elite, academics, and so on. And in order to sort of create a majority of people who is not necessarily willing to endorse the one country, the system, but who is going to resist much less to any pressure and plan proposed by China for the future of cross-strait relations. So that's the way forward, I think, for Taiwan as far as China is concerned.
Professor Kabistan, thank you also. I'm sorry, we're out of time there, but great to have you with us on the line.
Thank you.
Professor Jean-Pierre Kabistan also joining us there from Hong Kong after we connected with Taiwan before that.